Morning. Good morning, good afternoon. This is another podcast from the Black Business Map podcast where we bring positive Black people doing positive things on our show. Today we have author, principal, great
Assistant principal.
assistant principal,
Former assistant principal. I'm retired.
retired military man, book author of three books, Mr. Reuben Pitts. How you doing today, sir?
Hey, I'm doing great. How about yourself, my brother?
Good, 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 good. Hey, man, it's a pleasure to have you on the podcast to, put the word out about yourself and things you have going on. Tell us about your background. Where you from?
Man, hey, that's a long story. So I could tell you, I'm born and raised down in Miami. You know,
Okay.
lived in the projects. I was in the. I'm a product of abject poverty.
Okay.
Projects of they're still there. Lincoln Field, Largemont Gardens down in Liberty City. So I was there, raised without a father, had a powerful grandmother, powerful mother, sisters kept me right. In the
Okay.
absence of mom, my older sisters, they
Okay.
kept me on the straight and narrow,
Okay.
and also
Okay.
my older brother, 2 years older than me.
All
So
right.
yeah,
Okay.
born and raised down in Miami.
Okay. As I know, say you're a military guy. How many years did you spend in the military? How was your
Oh
how
man.
you know how did you go through the rank? What first of all, what made you go to the military?
Hey, you know what? How did I join the, my family had a background, in the
Okay.
military. Family had a
Okay.
background in the military. I'm in high school, and then you see these recruiters come in, and one of the ones that really caught my eye, that uniform, Marines. They had them dress blues on.
Okay.
So
Okay.
yeah, had them dress blues, So took the ASVAB test, and I decided, hey, I'm gonna, after school, join the Marine Corps. So I spent 24 years active and
Okay.
6 years in active reserve. So during that time, I've traveled. I mean, I traveled maybe not all around the world, but I've seen a lot. I've been as far north as Anchorage, Alaska. I've been as far south as just off the coast of Honduras. That's back in 1984. Doing missions down there in Central America. Been as far east on the DMZ. Been to Korea 3 or 4 times. Spent 10 years in Japan, Okinawa, Japan, 7 years in Hawaii. So I've done a lot. Done a lot, seen a lot. If you it's amazing. 40 years ago, I was just talking about 40 years, 41 years ago, I was in Beirut, Lebanon. So that's 1983. I was in Beirut, Lebanon, doing the bombing of the embassy in April of 83. 10 years later, doing Black Hawk Down. I'm in Somalia, providing myself in a incredible unit called Fast Five, Fleet Anti-Terrorism Security Team Company out of North Virginia. So we spent time there. So from there, all I've been doing is, I got the majority of my education. I got it in the Marine Corps.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good
So
stuff. Good stuff.
that's a little snippet of my time.
Right.
I was operator. Yeah, I was operator. Shoot, move, and
Okay.
communicate.
Okay. Thanks for your service, man. We
Yeah, I
surely
appreciate it.
appreciate that. Now, getting working on to the in school system. Now, going from the military, how did you get into the school system? What made you want to, I guess, teach kids or help kids? What made you take that path?
Well, I'll tell you, one of my mentors, Dr. Raymond Bryan Jr., he was the assistant principal, Factory Show Middle School here in Douglasville. And
Okay.
ideally, my focus was not education. My goal was to be the senior vice president of a Fortune 500 company, cultural diversity. I got my degrees, Chaminade University out of Hawaii, University of Oklahoma, psychology and human relations, certified mediator. So my goal was to just do cultural diversity. And so when I retired, I just, sat in the back of the classroom, as my kids, were attending school, making that transition from being in the military schools to being in public schools. So I'm just sitting back. And what I observed was different than what I was accustomed to.
Okay.
You know, the conflict resolution, I didn't see that.
Oh.
I saw, you know, the pugilistic mindset being, you know, confrontational. And there was not time for teachable moments. So I posed a question to an office manager and I just said, do you all ever go through the process of, you know, talking about conflict resolution, mediation?
Okay.
And this office manager told me, you know, Mr. Pitts, we don't have time for that. But if you truly want to get involved, then you need to become a teacher. So I started, I was during that period of time, I was a mentor. I used to go in and do pull out and, you know, at Factory Show Middle School and also Chestnut Log Middle School. And I mentored kids there and helped them with their reading. But after that, I went through the process of being a substitute teacher.
Mm-hmm.
So one of my first assignments was ISS, in-school suspension. And from there, you know, I started substituting. And one student, you know, I had eighth grade social studies. You know, and I'm passionate about history. I know the history.
Okay.
I'm a historian.
Okay.
So a young man said, hey, you know, Mr. Pitts, you're a substitute. Why aren't you a full blown out, you know, teacher? Why not?
Okay.
You need to teach. I've learned a lot from you. So that put me on the path of getting my teacher certification.
Okay.
So since and what happened as far as being a full blown teacher, I'm at home and I'm just chilling. And I mentioned Dr. Bryant, Raymond Bryant Jr.
Okay.
He called me and said, hey, Mr. Spitz, I need your help. I said, well, sir, as I said, if you need me, I'll be there. He said, well, I need a teacher. I said, well, you know, I retired. You know, I really don't know any teachers, but I'll see if I can find one. He's like, right. No, I need you. Okay. I want you to come and teach. So you can imagine I had just been retired, been an operator, dealing with Marines.
Right.
And here I am. I'm assigned to first grade. So I had first graders.
Oh,
I had
man.
9 first graders. And at this point now, that was in 2005, 2006. So, you know, that's 18 years. So those 6th graders, they're 24, 25 years old.
Right.
And, you know, I just got in contact with one. Well, actually, this first grader contacted me and said, hey, Mr. Pitts, I was in your class for 2 months. And what you did for me while I was in your class, I'll never forget it. And that, you know, that individual right now, matter of fact, name is Jasmine Brown.
Okay.
She's an engineer,
wow.
Has 2 businesses.
Wow.
And lives on the great island of Puerto Rico, doing great things. Has her master's degree in engineering from Clark Atlanta University.
Wow.
So that's how I got into education. I've been there ever since. You know, I've taught first grade, fourth grade, EBD students, 6th grade social studies, 7th, 8th grade social studies, was assigned to be the school improvement specialist for the county for social studies and the fine arts, teacher of the year. And then after that, I got an assignment. My last assignment was as a assistant principal. Many would say at the best middle school in the state of Georgia. Fact to show,
yes,
middle
sir.
School,
mm-hmm.
home of the mighty shining Knights.
Okay. Okay, yeah. Listen, so life as an administrator, what would you have done different now that you're out and, you know, and just looking back on it? What would you have done different in your opinion, in your eyes?
That's a good question. And I can tell you as I got more into it and really, you know, because they don't, you know, there's no true book. There may be a book that is written that as an administrator, you do X, Y, Z, and it can be written down in a book.
Mm-hmm.
But until you get into the trenches, into the, you know, that arena of being an administrator, and then you're dealing with multiple personalities, then you're dealing with kids that may have trauma. You have parents that, you know, they need your help. And what I've learned during my time as I gotten into it, you know, first year, second year, third year, you're really learning. And what I have learned is what I would do differently. Some of the decisions that I would have that I made, I would have taken more time.
Okay.
I would have taken more time. Excuse me. You have to have patience.
Patience. Okay. Okay.
I say, you know, administrators, like teachers, like anyone in leadership or in mentorship, you wear that cap, and that cap, proverbial cap of excellence. And that cap is, you got to have compassion, showing more compassion, and then, you know, and that's that C, and then that A, you know, being appreciative of what you have and the position that you're in. I mean, appreciative, be it because the good outweighs the bad. Okay. Because no one's perfect.
Right.
Everyone's going to have a bad day, be it a parent, a teacher, even an administrator is going to have a bad day, because we're human. We have flaws.
Okay.
But then to have that patience. Patience, and I'll say forgiveness. Those things right there. So differently, you know, you learn from the mistakes that you make, and you learn from the successes. You know, just like you as a championship coach. You know, granted, you know, we can celebrate and we cheer, and we're excited about the championships and the wins.
Right.
But how do you react and come back when you have a defeat?
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you've made a mistake. And as an administrator, I can remember on more than one occasion that I have, you know, jumped to the conclusion of something without fully investigating.
Wow.
Or knowing
okay.
everything.
Right.
Not knowing everything, but taking the word and having to go back. And I have apologized to parents. I apologize to parents. I have apologized to teachers. I have apologized to students. You know, and you know, that's one of the things. You have to be humble enough to know that, hey, you know what I did, you know, that wasn't it could have been done better.
Okay.
You could have taken time. And so those are the things that, you know, I hope I answered that question, but what would have done differently? If I would have done one thing differently, then, you know, my progression would have been different.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Okay.
It would have been different. But like I said, every success, learn from it. Every misstep, I've learned from it.
Okay.
And any mistake that I have made or misstep, it was never repeated. Never repeated. Yeah.
Okay. So, okay. Okay.
But as an administrator, if you weigh the administrator, and as an administrator, I would tell anyone, you need to take time. For me, never start your day on a negative.
Okay.
You know, on a negative, because I can, you know, myself as positioned as an administrator and having the buses, I would see those students come in every day, getting off the bus, 850 or 750 strong. They're excited.
Exactly.
Happy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they don't live in the neighborhoods like you and I, when we grew up, that we all walked to school together and we did everything together.
Right.
They're separated, you know,
right.
miles upon miles. But when they see their friends that are in class, you know, that they've been Facebooking and, you know, FaceTiming and all that, they're excited.
Mm-hmm.
They're happy to be at school. School is a place of exploration. It's supposed to be a place of, you know, of freedom, that I can, freedom to express, freedom to ask questions, you know, because this is the safe place that, okay, within this class, let's ask these questions.
Right.
Let's answer them, you know. And you need to get those answers, because in more likelihood, you'll get the right answer in the classroom than on the internet or listening to your friend or listening to the streets. But the excitement, don't start your day on the negative, and don't end it on the negative.
Okay.
You need to find time. And that's one thing that I would have, you asked, change. I would have spent more time spending time with my students, going in and out of the classroom instead of investigations and paperwork. But I tried to never end my day on the negative. So at 2 o'clock, unless it's something pressing, you need to be with your students. Go to the band, go to chorus, go to the gym, sit down, interact. Let them see you in the classroom.
Okay.
And have them pose questions and truly be yourself and be authentic.
Okay.
Let them know your history. Yeah.
Good stuff. Good stuff. So I see you're an author of 3 books. You got a new book coming out soon. Tell us about your book.
Let's see. This book coming out. It was essentially started 2 years before the pandemic.
Okay.
It was 2 years before the pandemic. And you know how you have those dreams, you know, like you're dreaming and you think you're wide awake.
Okay.
And my son, he's a mechanical engineer, computer science. And, you know, I'm dreaming and my son's standing next to me. And I'm like, son, I said, what do you think they're going to do with this road? And you know how you deja vu, you've been on this road before.
Right.
And my son, I said, son, do you think they're going to widen it? Or do you think they're going to straighten it? And my son turned to me and said, Dad, you need to build your own road. And he walked away.
Wow.
And I'm yelling, I'm calling his name. I'm calling his name 3 times. And then what happens is, I thought I was waking up the whole house, but it wasn't. And I just start writing. And the first portion of the book, and I get to the title of the book, it's called The Hope Initiative, Habits That Offer a Positive Existence in the Midst of Stress and Chaos. So the title of this book is Be Strong and Courageous.
Okay.
Strong and Courageous. The subtitle is A Post-Pandemic Mindset.
Mm-hmm.
How to implementing post-pandemic strategies to empower generation. This book is, in all likelihood, it's going to be 4 parts. The first part is the Hope Initiative. And the Hope Initiative is, how do we go about life? In order for us to really enjoy life and enjoy ourselves and enjoy people, we need to make sure our emotional and mental mindset is right. So I touch on getting your mental and your emotional mindset, loving yourself, finding time for yourself, creating space within your space. A simple example, you should never eat at your, for me, you should never eat where you work. So if you're at your desk, you need to create a space, even if you're in a cubicle, you need to spin to the right or spin to the left away from your computer. That's your time. You need to ensure that you take time to take care of yourself, your body, your mindset, consuming the right products, you know, doing away with the, you know, too much sugar, too much fat, too much processed food, drinking the water, taking time for yourself. I call it detoxing from the digital platforms. Okay. Shut down all your computers. Get a book. Go outside. Enjoy people.
Mm.
You know, having conversations like you and I are having conversations. Like you and I, we sit down in the gym and we just chop it up.
That's it.
But, you know, that interface that is missing.
Mm.
So that's the Hope Initiative. The other one, when we talk about, one thing I learned is the second part of the book is the importance of how do we motivate those individuals who exhibit behaviors that we may deem unmotivated. You know, that's for teachers. An example, and I think I mentioned it to you once before. I had a student, had no idea. Student came to my, when I was teaching eighth grade, he came to my third period class, sat in the first row, first seat. He came in, put his head down. One would think that he was disengaged. He didn't want anything to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
But guess what? He did all his work. He did the same thing in every class. When he took the test, he scored distinguished. Straight A student.
Wow.
But we came to find out at the end of the school year, the issue was a month before school started, he lost his mother. He was
Wow.
being raised by his sister. So many, if they didn't have the temperament, like we said about being compassionate, being appreciative, and being patient, they would have thought something was wrong with this kid. But no, this kid was grieving. So those are habits. Kids going through divorce, kids going through trauma, kids, you know, feeling that they don't belong. Teachers, I'm passionate about it. You know, teachers, I mean, you have to take time. You already know, love on the kids. Kids don't, they have enough friends.
Right.
They want you to hold them to a high expectation, teach them, love them, correct them, motivate them, inspire them, hold them accountable. So, and then that's the third part. The second part. The third part is I'm devoting a section of my book. Besides a parent or guardian, the second greatest impact in a child's life is a good teacher. Not just a teacher, not just a hard teacher, a disciplined teacher, a structured teacher, but a good teacher that they can connect with, that's approachable, that's accessible, you know, that's going to help this kid, that's going to show that compassion, that understanding, you know, that's going to hold them accountable. So, and what I've taken, I'm getting insights and contributions, writings from administrators, former students, current teachers, parents. It's going to be a beautiful book.
Okay.
It's going to be a powerful book. And
okay.
Hopefully they'll be able to use it. So that's a post-pandemic mindset. Got to have it because, you know, what's going on now, it's different.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, Mr. Pierce, I sure appreciate you coming on to the Black Business Map podcast. As usual, great information from yourself. I'm proud to say I know you. Like I said before, everybody who go out, support the book, support Mr. Pitts. He's a great man doing great things in the community. And I look forward to our next interview.
Oh, yeah. One last thing. I know you got the cut. But, you know, one thing I did mention, that I'm a motivational speaker.
Okay.
With 225 speeches.
Wow.
Especially Black History Program. Since it's Black History Program, phenomenal.
Okay.
225. Yeah.
Okay. Now, where can we find these the speeches? Is there where I can go to find them, or have you put them in a certain location?
Contact me. Contact me.
Okay.
You can share my information.
Yeah, I put your information in the bottom. Yeah.
Yeah. And if they want me, like I said, I don't go anywhere I'm not invited.
Exactly.
So if they will invite me and they want me to speak, be a keynote. I wish we had a little bit more time. I'll give you a little taste of it.
Hey, we could do a second part of it. It's up to you. Yeah, we come back and tell everybody. Yeah, we'll do a second part. So everybody stay tuned and look out for the second part of my interview with Mr. Pitts and get some more information and learn how to help these kids. Because one thing I do know as being a coach, the kids will grow up. They're looking for somebody they can look back and say, hey, this person helped me. That's the main reason I go back and coach the kids now. Because somebody did it for me, so I go back and do it for these kids, and they come back and share it. So we always have to do our part to put good things into the kids so they can come back and have a good role model that they can look up to and try to, you know, follow. So once again, I appreciate you coming on. Everybody look for part two of this interview with Mr. Pitts. And like I say, have a good evening.
All right, you keep calling me Mr. Pitts. You know, my friends call me MP.
MP.
There you go.
All right.
All right, my brother.
All right.
Hey, peace.
No doubt.
Have a good one.
What?
All right. Later.